Brother Brian had asked us to read from 1 Peter 2, verses 21 to 25. 1 Peter 2, 21 to 25. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, but by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. All who are able at this time, let us kneel for prayer.
Good evening. I greet each one of you. Tonight we'd like to look at the topic, For Christ and the Church. For Christ and the Church. And we'd like to look specifically at, are you willing to follow Christ in the church? Are you willing to follow? Are you willing to obey? Are you willing to submit to Christ in the church? You know, we sing that hymn, For Christ in the Church, and one of the stanzas in it says, For Christ and in the church, let us cast aside, by conquering grace, change of self, fear, and pride. May our lives be enriched by an aim so grand, then happy the call to the Savior's right hand. It truly is a grand aim to live wholeheartedly and in submissiveness to Christ in the church. Are you willing to follow Christ in the church? Brother Frank Reed recently taught a brethren history class here that I was privileged to attend. And I guess sometime in the 80s, I think it was, there was a study done in the Atlantic Northeast District about what's wrong with the church today. What's wrong with the church today? And one of the points that he mentioned that came out of this study was a fear to follow authority. There was a fear to follow authority in the church today, or an unwillingness to follow. And that challenged me, and I had a number of thoughts go through my mind since then. As I examined myself, and I wondered, am I a good follower? Am I a good follower? Am I willing to follow the way that Christ has laid out for me? Am I willing to follow the church? Is it a problem, do you think, at the church at large, a willingness to follow? What about here at Pleasant Hill? Is it a problem here? Are we willing to follow Jesus Christ wherever he leads and whatever he says? Are we willing to follow the church and church leadership? In two previous sermons, I talked about the goodness of God, the fact that God is always good. He gives us nothing but good things, and he only cares about our well-being. We also looked at that God has a plan for our lives. A good and a gracious God has a plan laid out for each one of us, a specific plan for our own good. And the question before us tonight, are you afraid or are you willing to follow the plan? Are you willing to follow Christ wherever he leads you? And are you willing to follow the church? There are two areas that Scripture definitely commands us to be submissive and to follow, and that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and also church leadership. Clearly commanded in Scripture. What does it mean to follow? What does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? One thing it means is to imitate his example. Brother George talked about that this morning when he talked about the example of David and imitating these characteristics of David. It's the same thing for us as we imitate the example of Jesus, follow him as a pattern for our life. In the text that was read this evening, we are called that we should follow Jesus, follow in his steps and the example that he gave us. And it goes on to list his attributes. He was sinless. He was without deception. He wouldn't fight back. Are we following Jesus? Are we walking where he goes, doing what he does, putting our feet into his steps? Following Jesus also means submitting to his word and his will. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25, it says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves unto God." When we follow Jesus, we recognize him as boss. We have only one boss, only one master, only one Lord. And every decision we make, every dream we have, every desire we have needs to be submitted to the lordship and the control of Jesus. There are many similar commands in Scripture. We're told to walk in, we're told to continue in, we're told to be partakers of. And it all means that we're to be willing to follow Jesus. The command that Jesus said, "Follow me," occurs 23 times in the Gospels. "Follow me," he says. And the Greek for that is to keep following me every day, every hour, every decision. It means to put Jesus first and his word and his will first in our lives. It calls for 100% devotion, 100% submission, and it's not easy. It's not easy. I ask you to examine your heart and your life. In what ways do you refuse to follow Jesus Christ? Are you holding bitterness and anger in your heart? Do you live for something or someone else more than you do to Jesus? Is there something in your life that's more dear to you than Jesus? Do your dreams and your desires and your will come before those of our Lord? If they do, you're not following Jesus. Do you hang tightly onto your money and your possessions? Has your love for Jesus been replaced by business or perhaps pleasure? If it has, you're not following Jesus. Are you selfish? Are you prideful? Are you afraid to follow Jesus? Are you unwilling to follow Jesus? And that song that we sing, "For Christ in the Church," lets us cast aside, by conquering grace, change of self, fear, and pride. The second challenge I have for you this evening, are you afraid to follow the church? Are you willing to submit to church authority? Are you willing to support the work and the will of the church? Are you willing to follow the church? It's the church's responsibility to follow Jesus Christ and follow the word of God. It's also the church's responsibility to make applications to biblical doctrine to help its members follow Jesus. It's interesting to me in Scripture, Paul says, "Follow me." We can read it in 1 Corinthians 4 and Philippians 3. Paul says, "Follow me." In 1 Corinthians 11, 1, he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." You see, it's the same command, the same cry that church leadership cries out to the members. Follow us as we follow Christ. It's the same cry and the same command that comes from the church as a body to each member. Follow us as we follow Christ. Hebrews 13:17 says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Are you willing to lay aside your ideas and your thoughts and your dreams and your desires and your selfishness and your pride and follow the church? In essence, that's the exact question that you're going to be asked on a deacon's visit. When the deacons ask you, "Are you at peace and union with the church?" You see, it's not just, "Are you at peace and union with the membership?" It's, "Are you at peace and union with the church corporately?" You'll be asked, "Are you willing to walk the same path, the same direction that the church walks? Are you submitting your will and what you want and your desires to those of the church? Are you at peace and union with the church?" And it's not an easy question to answer yes to. It's not easy. It's hard to do. At least it is for me. There's times that I don't agree with the leadership of the church. There's times that I don't agree with council's decisions. And it's really a struggle for me. And I pray hard that God protect me from bitterness. And I pray hard that God would help me to die to self and my pride and what I want, and that I would remain submissive. And it's hard. And I wonder if it's only me. I wonder if I'm the only one that struggles with it. In what ways do you push back? Do you rebel against the church leadership and walk the line as close as possible? Sisters, you know the type and the size and the style of covering the church asks you to wear. Do you? You know the applications that the church asks for modesty in regards to fads and fashions. Do you follow it? Do you push the limits? Brethren, you know church what the church asks in the guidelines regarding wearing of shorts and worldly amusements and all that go with it. Do you willingly submit to those guidelines? Are you really at peace and union with the church? Are you afraid or unwilling to follow the church as the church follows Christ? For Christ and the church, let us cast aside by conquering grace, chains of self, fear, and pride. It's not easy to be a good follower, is it? It's tough. It's not easy to die to self. It's not easy to submit your will to that of others. Yet I tell you, it's clearly commanded in Scripture. As I struggle with submission myself, and at times I'm not a good follower, I ask myself, why? Why? Why do I refuse to follow Jesus? Why do I refuse to follow church leadership? What are my reasons that I make a decision to go my own way and do my own thing? What makes following so very hard? I came up, as I examined myself, with the following reasons why following Jesus Christ in the church is so very hard. First, it costs. There's a great cost in submission. It costs you something. When you make a decision to follow Christ in the church, it costs you. The way of our Lord is a way of persecution. The world hated him, and if we follow, it will hate us. The Sunday school lesson this morning on Stephen showed that, didn't it? If you make a decision to follow Jesus Christ, the world will hate you. It may cost you your family. You may be cut off. They may think you're weird and don't understand. It may cost you money when work is not your first priority any longer. It may cost you friends because you no longer have the same interests as they do. It may cost you earthly and temporal pleasures. It may even cost you your life to follow Christ in the church. I, like Brother Nelson this week, ran across a hymn store, and I thank Brother Nelson for sharing that this evening with us. The hymn story that I was reading was the story behind "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." It seems that in Wales, they had a revival, and they sent missionaries as a result of that revival all over the world. One of the missionaries ended up in the wilds of India. They worked some time in the tribal area there, and finally one family decided to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ. And this family started to have an influence on others, and the chief of the tribe didn't like it at all. They were pledging their loyalty and their authority to someone else other than him. And so a tribal council was called, and the man was asked to renounce his faith or die. The converted man said, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back." And the enraged chief shot his two children. As they laid dying on the ground, the chief said, "What about now?" And the man replied, "Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back." And in fury, the chief shot his wife. And as she lay dying on the ground, the chief asked the man once again to deny Christ. And the man testified, "The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back." And the man was shot. It said that the chief was moved by this man's testimony and faithfulness and later accepted Jesus as his Savior. Are you afraid to follow Christ in the church? Or maybe the price is just a little too high than you want to pay. The second reason I think at times I refuse to follow Christ in the church is because of my own independence, my own selfishness, my own arrogance, and my own pride. I don't want to give in. I want it my way. I want what I want. If these thoughts go through our mind and we're shaking our fist at God and saying, "I don't care what you say, I want it my way," and God help us from that. Are you afraid or unwilling to submit because of selfishness, arrogance, or pride? The third reason I think at times we're unwilling to submit is that we're just afraid. We're just afraid. We're afraid, and we're embarrassed. When we follow Jesus Christ, we stand out, don't we? We are different from the world, and we stand out. We become one of the few instead of one of the many. And it's hard to be the only one. It's hard to stand alone. It's hard to bow in prayer at a restaurant while everyone stares at you. It's hard when you stand out because of your dress. I had a recent experience with that this week. I spent the week in Phoenix, Arizona at our national sales meeting. Before I went, I received an email and it said you're to bring a suit coat or a sports jacket. that they were going to take pictures. You know, for a time I was tempted to leave my plain coat at home. I remembered I had a blue sports coat, a lapel coat in the closet from years ago. The meeting would be full of corporate executives, 100 other salesmen, and I would stand out and be the only one. People would ask questions and people would stare because I was different. And I cried out to God as I struggled with what to do. Should I take my plain coat or should I take my lapel coat? And God's reply to me were the words, "Whoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory." And I didn't want that to be me. I didn't want Jesus to be ashamed of me when he came. I did take my plain coat. Is it only me? Is it only me that struggles with it? I wonder, sisters, as we see coverings getting smaller and smaller, I wonder as we see a push for different styles of coverings, I wonder as we see fads and fashions and worldliness creep into our clothing, I wonder if we're not just too ashamed and too embarrassed to follow Christ in the church. What are your reasons for not following Christ in the church? What are your reasons? The fourth reason that I think sometimes we neglect to follow Christ in the church is just plain old common sense. We say, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand why. I can't see why it matters. And we let common sense get in the way of what God says we should do. We reason, we think. And then we make a huge mistake and we think that God knows better than we do. I mean that we know better than God. We make that mistake that we know better than God. And that's exactly what humanism is. Everyone doing what seems right in his own eyes. We find many examples of it in Scripture. In the book of Judges, it records of a time of confusion, of turmoil. A time when every man did right what seemed right in his own eyes. And why was that? It tells us because they had no king. They had no leader. They had no authority. They had no submission. They had no one to follow. You know, Satan, in a mixture of ego and pride and foolishness, said, "I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mound of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of heaven, and I will be like the Most High God." God forgive us if we do that. And at times we do. At times we do. Whenever we say of a verse of Scripture, "Did God really say that? Did he really mean it? Does he really mean that we should love our enemies and forgive those that wrong us? He doesn't understand all that I've gone through or all the misery that person has caused me. It can't be. It doesn't make sense. Don't they have to pay? Why should I leave them off the hook?" Oh, brothers and sisters, I tell you, be very careful when you rely on reason, on common sense, and doing what seems right in your own eyes. Are you willing to follow Christ in the church? For Christ in the church, let us cast aside by conquering grace, change of self, fear, and pride. Following Christ in the church is not an easy road, I know that. But it can be done. It can be done by the grace of God and through His strength. As you weigh the cost of whether you should follow Christ in the church, I'd like to encourage you that you'll never be disappointed. You'll never regret the decision you make to follow Christ in the church. Never. It's the best decision you can ever make. Here are a few promises that I'd like to leave you with in closing to encourage you to follow Christ in the church. Following Christ is a path of freedom. It doesn't make sense to us. By submitting, you're actually free. Usually, common sense would tell you submission means bondage, but it's not true. Submission means freedom. John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Following Christ in the church brings you freedom. Following Christ in the church leads to satisfaction and peace. John 6:35, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Following Christ in the church will give you understanding, wisdom, knowledge, discernment. John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Following Christ in the church, putting your hand into the hand of the good shepherd that loves you. Where else could you go but to the good shepherd that loves you? John 10:14 says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And fifthly, following Christ in the church is your only hope for salvation, your only answer to death, and your only guarantee of heaven. John 1:25-26, I am the resurrection, the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Brothers and sisters, are you willing to follow Christ in the church? It's the best decision you can ever make. For Christ and the church, let us cast aside, by conquering grace, change of self, fear, and pride. May our lives be enriched by an aim so grand, and happy the call to the Savior's right hand. May God bless you.
Let's stand together for our closing prayer.